Welcome to Scaling Software Teams, a podcast about how to navigate fast growth without losing the magic that made that growth possible. I'm your host, Wes Winham. This week, we're releasing the first episode of our Community Questions series. Over the coming weeks, we'll talk to engineering leaders around the world to answer your toughest questions. Today, we're going to talk about the scary side of a great day, the day we raise a big old round of funding. A lot of us work for venture-backed companies. In the venture-backed space, big dollars often mean big problems to solve. This is true for our products. The more ambitious our goals, the more capital we'll need to hit them. But it's also true for our teams. More money sometimes means more problems. Very few people tell the truth about what big fundraising milestones actually mean. This can make the process of overcoming these obstacles feel very isolating. We heard this pain a lot from leaders we talked to in the past year. On the surface, things seem great. We raise a ton of money, we're hiring a ton of people, we thought the investor check would solve all of our problems, and things never actually go that way. Instead, big rounds of funding often magnify the issues that already exist on our team. Growth and scale is hard. Even worse, we may feel like failures for not being able to solve these problems. After all, every other company on Twitter is posturing like they have it all figured out. Why don't we? The truth is, everyone experiences this after a round of funding, and we're not alone. There are three things that we see break the most often after a big round of funding. In this episode, we cover how engineering leaders navigate solving those problems. Thing number one, after a big fundraise, most of our current processes will break. We build processes and systems for the teams we have today. Maybe we even build for a 2x scale factor. When a big round of funding hits, though, those teams usually have to triple in size quickly. The odds that our system can scale within that growth curve is pretty low. After a big fundraise, we need to rethink a lot of things.
Here's Chris Caluzzi from CredSimple.
CredSimple has recently acquired a Series B, so it's only been a couple months. But prior to that, my recruiting strategy was primarily recruiting out of my own network. And that worked really well, but I knew it wouldn't scale post-Series B, so the strategy has to change.
Chris had to adapt his hiring process to fit his new context. Instead of focusing on in-network hiring, he needed to get better at cold recruiting and inbound screening. This doesn't just apply to hiring, it also applies to management. Chris DeSantis is the VP of Engineering at Lola, and he shared with us the management struggles he faced after his team raised a $37 million Series C.
When I joined Lola in March, there really wasn't much of a management structure in place. Everyone pretty much reported to one person. There were a few tech leads in place to do some amount of people management and some working with product managers to help teams function. But I was really a firm believer in having strong people management close to the teams and close to the individual contributors. To that end, we started to introduce both a team and a management structure. We mostly followed along with the Spotify squad model. The goal here was to build a large number of small teams. Those teams are meant to own a feature or to solve a specific problem. We try to make them as self-sufficient as possible and staff accordingly, which means we've got product management and people management sitting very close to those teams.
These process breakdowns happen quickly. They are the beginning of the post-fundraise struggle. Thing number two, we make more hires and get way more applications. We survived the fundraising cycle by holding our breath. We dreamed about the day when we could hire more engineers to help lighten the load. Then, the money finally comes in, and we're left with more work to do than before we started. We also have a second job, hiring. How did this happen? Hiring is the most common culprit. Notably, the hiring process is time-consuming. According to our data, it takes 38 hours of the engineering team's time to make one offer. If we're trying to add 10 engineers, that's nearly 3 months of engineering time gone. That is, of course, assuming that we're dealing with normal hiring conditions. For some engineering teams, a big round of funding can make matters worse, not better. Take Steve Caldwell's story. Steve's team at Springbuck raised a $20 million Series B here in Indianapolis. This clocked in at among the largest rounds of funding our city had ever seen. Immediately after the fundraise, his inbox exploded with job applicants.
So you've founded a couple tech companies, worn different hats, seen some scaling. So what's the biggest scaling challenge that you've encountered?
At the beginning of last year, Springbuck raised the $20 million Series B. And at the time, I was our VP of technology, so essentially VP of engineering and infrastructure and security. And we had been developing a budget for 2018 based on sort of the fundraising process and how it was going. But we knew as a 40-ish person company with $20 million coming in the bank, and we had plans for how we were going to spend it, we were about to ramp up. And we had a ton of, you know, job postings out there for different types of engineers. And we did the Series B announcement. And I think within the first couple of weeks, we had like 1,000 applications. It was quite overwhelming. And we had no internal HR at all. So we had no talent manager, no recruiting help. You know, I used outside recruiters from time to time for the really high priority positions that we needed to fill. But it was me doing phone screens all throughout the week. I mean, I would do 4 or 5 phone screens a day, and these are 30-minute calls, some of them. So we're talking hours and hours of time spent a week just trying to figure out who to bring in to interview.
Steve isn't alone. We've seen that the perception of an employer is largely shaped by recent venture funding. Companies who go through a big fundraise tend to see big spikes in application volume. This can put hiring managers in both large and small markets in phone screen hell, just like Steve. The trick isn't to outwork the slog. We need to outsmart it instead. Here's Steve again.
I think it's just don't underestimate how much time it takes to hire 10 people. It seems like not a huge number. You know, it's like, oh, 10 people, you know, can do 10 interviews. But whenever you put out, if you get a fundraise and you put out a big announcement, you're going to attract a lot of attention. And when you raise that kind of capital and you are trying to continue to build a very healthy and strong business that, you know, has, that will maintain the culture that it has had for 3 years, and not only maintain but expand and grow and make that culture even better, you want to keep going up and to the right, the amount of time you will have to spend with candidates and in the process to ensure that that culture piece and that technical aptitude piece and that communication piece that you have worked so hard over the last however long to build, that you don't poison that. And so that was the mindset going into it, is like, look, we're having a great time here. We're building great tech. We're signing up great customers. Like, we're getting all this attention and press. And the reason is because we have amazing people in this company, and we brought in lots of great people. And so if we're going to continue that, we have to continue to raise the bar on how we hire. And so that was the mindset going in, but I don't think I knew just how much time that would require. And I think the other piece was we also stacked up our roadmap and all of our initiatives in Q1. We didn't like compensate for the fact that we would have to spend so much time on recruiting. So what happened was we sort of set expectations about what we'd deliver in Q1, and we were unable to hit those expectations, which causes ripple effects throughout the whole business. And if we would have had a better solution there to help manage that whole process, bringing in engineering talent and helping us, you know, spot the good ones at a glance before we go waste hours of time on, you know, multiple dead ends, we may have been able to hit some of those initiatives, and who knows, the numbers may have ended up being higher at the end of the year.
So you plan for the influx taking a lot of your time, try to get a system in place. It sounds like you kind of got something going there, and then maybe, and I guess it's related to one, if you're planning for the time, you got to change your roadmap expectations, it sounds like.
Yes.
Do you have a sense for how long it takes you to hire an engineer, like your organization?
I think we've hired, you know, from the post date to hire as quickly as 2 to 3 weeks. That was like, you know, lightning strike. Probably will never happen again that way.
That's pretty fast.
To as long as 6 months. And, you know, the 6 month one was for a more senior caliber engineer that, you know, we had some major performance initiatives and re-architecture initiatives that we needed to bring in someone who really knew their stuff and didn't need a lot of hand holding. And, you know, that's a really hard thing to find, right? So you want to wait for the right one in that case, but still 6 months is probably on the extreme end of that. And that impact, I mean, talk about roadmap and ripple effects. You know, you think it's going to take maybe tops 2 to 3 months to hire somebody. And then you try to plan for the next quarter and you still don't have that person and you're relying on that person to hit the next quarter's objective. That's something that I've observed in the last year.
And about how many, if you had to put a number on how many hours it would take you to make, let's say one of the, not so much that 6 months really high-end hire, but kind of your bread and butter software engineer hire, how much time does it take you as the hiring manager?
You mean in terms of the process?
Kind of like hours. Like if you had to be like, you know, I can, it's going to take me 30 hours of my time. So I'm going to get to, I can only do 5 of these in a month.
Right. Yeah. I mean, back in those days, it was writing the job description, posting it, you know, managing all the candidates, phone screen, couple interviews, putting the offer letter together, the whole thing. I mean, it was definitely a multi-hour experience, probably dozens of hours per candidate. And that just the context switching and how you have to start thinking about recruiting and then jump over to like architecture for a new microservice. This, you know, that impacts everything else.
So outside of raising $20 million and like airdropping in the cavalry to help, what are some things you can do to kind of, you would recommend folks to kind of reduce the amount of time and effort it takes to make those hiring?
So I would say, first of all, find something that can help you with screening candidates very early in the process, save a lot of time on those phone screens. That would have been really helpful for me, I think would have had a big impact on us early on. Don't underestimate the importance of technical aptitude and communication aptitude early in the process. I think you have to figure out how to say no and how to push back and not just assume that what someone is saying, because they're throwing out names of frameworks and, you know, they've built a thing using React before, and they've been a dev for 5 years. Well, maybe they just built a Hello World app in React and they've been doing PHP for 5 years, right? So that sort of thing has to be plucked out early on. And so in the interview, you know, don't be afraid to push back. You know, I think a lot of engineers, you know, that I've seen, at least in my experience, in those types of environments aren't willing to really push back and ask for more detail because they're, you know, maybe uncomfortable with that, like confrontation. If you're going to be a hiring manager bringing in a lot of people, you have to get comfortable with some level of confrontation. You can do it in a way that's nice and that, you know, doesn't rub them the wrong way, but gotta take almost a sales mindset to that process where, you know, you're really digging in and trying to get to the heart of the experience that is relevant to the projects and initiatives you need that position filled for.
Steve escaped phone screen hell by teaming up with a service to help with candidate screening. He stopped spending countless hours screening resumes and conducting phone interviews. That allowed him to spend more time onboarding new hires and, counterintuitively, more time getting to know the candidates that were actually a good fit. He was able to scale his team faster. Thing number 3, our team structure likely needs to change. The needs of our team are also likely to change from round to round. Venture capital is usually raised to solve a problem. The team structure that helps us find product market fit is different from the structure we need to scale. A common variation is the seniority mix. Often, we need a very senior team to handle the uncertainty of early searching. Then we hire more junior and mid-level engineers to handle the huge lift required to scale. Other times, maybe there's less uncertainty on the tech side, and we've hired a very junior team to get the MVP out the door fast. Now that we've discovered product market fit, now we need to add senior mentorship to find untapped opportunities. Chris Stassonis of Lola experienced the latter.
Lola received its Series C in March of this year, which is right around when I joined. At that point, the engineering team was about 15 people and skewed pretty junior. I think about half of the team had less than 3 years experience. It was pretty clear at that point that we needed to raise the seniority of the team, so we targeted our hiring efforts towards more senior people who had been working for 5 to 10 years or more, who had seen businesses scale and had worked with larger teams before.
The team they hired after Series B helped them build a product that fit the market well. But if they were going to scale, they needed more senior engineers.
The Series C definitely required us to step up to seniority for a couple of reasons. The primary reason was that the Series C was a recognition that we had found product market fit, the business was starting to grow, transaction volume was growing, and this implied a amount of scale that we hadn't seen before, and we needed to bring in more senior people to help deal with that scale. We also knew that as we grew the team, we were going to face some new challenges around organizational scale, and we really would benefit from having some people on the team who had worked in larger groups before and help us work through some of those challenges.
It's not enough to hire differently. Chris's team at Lola needed to be managed differently as well.
I think one of the biggest growing pains with introducing a new management structure is actually finding the managers you need. We definitely wanted to promote some people from within, and we've done that. But I'm a firm believer that one of the most valuable assets when you're becoming a new manager is having a peer group of more seasoned managers that you can bounce ideas off of, you can learn from, can mentor with. So we have been doing some external hiring for managers as well. But if hiring good engineers is hard, hiring good engineering managers is even harder. So the time scale to actually get good managers on board is pretty long. I went into it thinking that hiring a manager would usually take between 3 and 6 months, and that's so far panned out. One of the other big challenges is, even once you know what the end state looks like, where you want to get your team and management structure to, you can't snap your fingers and just transition overnight. Particularly if you have to do some hiring to get to that point, there's going to be a series of iterations over many months before you finally get to your end state. I found it's really important to be really transparent with the team so they understand what you're trying to accomplish, what those transitions might look like, and it helps them feel a little less bounced around as you're moving from your current state to the state that you really want to get to.
It's fun to get funding. The press feels nice, investors validate our work, enable us to grow faster. But the work doesn't end when the check gets cut. To recap, the three common breaking points we see with engineering teams after a big round of funding are: number one, internal processes begin to break. Number two, hiring accelerates fast. Number three, team structure has to change. Before we left our guests, we wanted to know what they wish they would have done differently. So we posed a simple question to them. If you could go back in time to the day before your fundraise, what advice would you give yourself? What hiring and management challenges did you not see around the corner? Here's Chris Colizzi from CredSimple.
I'd say start your post-Series B sourcing strategy well in advance. Be it a sourcing or recruiting firm, maybe looking at acquisitions, outsourcing, et cetera, and test those strategies before the engagement, test those firms before the engagement. Get your recruitment process refined well in advance. It can be painful and time-consuming to have an ineffective recruitment strategy. In post-Series B, you will have less time, not more.
And here's what Chris DeSonis from Lola would have told past Chris.
We're not too far beyond the last round of funding, so I'm not sure I have enough hindsight just yet to say what advice I would give myself before this Series C. So instead, I'll talk a little bit about the advice I went into this with that I got from a few other rounds of rapid growth. If I had to boil it down to one phrase, it would be that 20 engineers are not inherently more productive than 10 engineers. It's important to understand that as your team grows, the tools and processes and organizational support structures that you had in place may no longer work for that larger team. It's not difficult to get your team to a place where you've got a lot of really talented people getting really frustrated because there's organizational friction keeping them from being as productive as they could be. I've definitely been the person before who said, "Let's just hire smart people and we'll figure out what to do with them afterwards." At the scale we're at right now, though, I just don't think that's a hiring philosophy that works for us. What this means in practical terms is really being deliberate about how you hire and making sure that you grow not just the individual contributors on the team, but also make sure you're growing people and product management and design and any of the other support staff that a team needs to be productive. It also means setting aside time to be evaluating tools and processes and architecture decisions that you've made in the past that may no longer work for your team as it gets larger. I think one of the other really hard things about being deliberate about your hiring process means that you're going to occasionally have to say no to people that you really like and you really think are talented. A concrete example of this is that we've met a number of junior engineers who we think are really fantastic and have a lot of promise. But based on where we are in our growth cycle, the fact that we're trying to grow the seniority of our team, we know that we are not in a position to really support some more junior engineers and mentor them in the way that we really feel good about.
If you've gone through a big round of funding recently, I want to hear from you. What challenges are you facing? How are you planning on scaling your team? Send me an email at wes@woventeams.com. I read every email personally, and I love hearing from listeners. That's wes@woventeams.com. Next week, we're going to find out how top engineering leaders build a hiring funnel that finds the right candidates every time. Until then, keep on scaling.